The first time that I preached here, I was given the Trinity Sunday scriptures. And I said to myself, self, to you all, I said to myself, self, this is tough, preaching Trinity Sunday, just because it's complex, it's theological, it's a deep thing, and it's a holy mystery. But I thought, that's okay. So the second time I preached here, Father Dan called me at 8. And
8 a.m.
8 a.m. and explained to me about his physical difficulty and asked me if I would preach. And of course, serving at the pleasure of the rector, I said, of course, I would love to. So when I saw my name come up for this third time, I said to myself, this will be probably something really good, really good. So as I read the gospel, I thought, this isn't good. Jesus just called a woman a dog. This isn't good. And so I just want to thank Father Andrew for scheduling this. And I know it has nothing to do about our relationship. Nothing to do. You know, I was just looking at us. We're kind of all things to all people here. I've got the sport coat on and everything, and yeah. I love this place. I really do. I really do. This is a special place. Before we get into the gospel, this morning I always get up early. And especially on Sunday mornings, just to have time with the Lord. And it's not just about preparation for Sunday, it's just wanting to love the Lord and to listen to Him. And usually, if the Lord is speaking to me, it's a thought or a scripture that comes out of nowhere. And so there's a scripture I just wanted to share for a moment. And it's from Haggai, and I'll find it. And this is a really popular scripture. Maybe it's been around St. Luke's for a long time, but I felt like this morning there was something new, some new juice, if you will, on this passage. And it's from Haggai chapter 2. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. It's a word that just keeps coming in different ways since coming to St. Luke's after my retirement. And, it's a word that just keeps coming, and it's an expectation that God is about something, and He always is. But I felt the first thing this morning the Lord would have me encourage you all and me all that God has always done wonderful things in this place, always has, and every Sunday He's doing wonderful things. But I believe the Lord is also saying that He's stretching us, that what you see now, not to settle into it, because God is going to be doing something more, and His presence is going to be great. it's always here, but sometimes the Lord will come and bring revelation, and we'll start to see the glory of God in a fresh and a new way. And as we're worshiping and loving Him for who He is, that He begins to pour out His Spirit in fresh ways, new ways. And so I just have this excitement and anticipation about what God is doing, but what God is building for the future, that the glory of the Lord will surpass what has been known. And in this house, He will grant peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, to the gospel. Lord, this is a tough one, and I feel like you hooked me up to a fire hose this week on this passage and opened the valve, and there's just so much in it. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity of mind and understanding, that we might grab hold of the thing that you want to pour into our lives that maybe has to do with the new glory, the glory that is to come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have you ever been rejected? Did you ever get over it? This gospel story is unreal when you really get into it. You have a woman who's a Canaanite and a Gentile. In other words, she's on the outside of Jesus and His followers. And this is a woman that it said she had a daughter that was severely oppressed by a demon. And we don't know exactly what that looks like, but it was bad. And this was a woman that no doubt had gone different places trying to fix her daughter and had found nothing. And so she has this mother's heart that is desperate to see her daughter healed. Claudia and I remember one of our sons, when he was 8, we noticed that his coloring was changing, that he didn't have much color, and he was lethargic, and there were different things. And by the way, if someone gets some water for me, that would be awesome. Thank you. And so he went to the doctor, and we started to go through this process, and he ended up having a kidney biopsy. And the outcome of the kidney biopsy was that he had lost 75%. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Thank you so much. He had lost 75% of his kidney function. He had a disease that there is no help for. It couldn't be fixed by medical standards. And that began a journey for Claudia and myself, and really our whole family, of crying out to God. We were desperate. We read all the articles, and all the articles said, this is bad. All the articles said kidney transplant won't work because if you have new kidneys with this disease, the disease will just attack the new kidneys. And so we were really in this horrible place. And so I was thinking about that as I was reading this passage about this Canaanite Gentile woman who has a daughter who is severely oppressed by a demon, is demonized. And she's looked at a lot of places, but her mother's heart is crying out that there be healing, that there'd be something that would happen that would reverse this curse that had come upon her daughter. And so she goes looking for Jesus. And this is a mind blower because she says to the Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Notice how this woman says of Jesus, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She's a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. And yet she somehow had some understanding about who Jesus was that surpassed a lot of the Jewish leaders and elders of that time that were rejecting Jesus as a Messiah. But she got it. And even though she was a Canaanite, even though she is a Gentile, she was getting something, hold of something here, that Jesus was more than a prophet, more than a man. He was the Messiah. And so she comes, hopeful. And it said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Then comes the beginning of several roadblocks or rejections. The first one, she cries out to the Lord and Jesus says nothing. I was picturing going up for prayer some Sunday, and there's a prayer couple, and I say to them, would you pray for me? I have this backache. And they just stare. Just stare at me. And there's silence, and I'm waiting for something. And it might have been Jesus was checking in with the Father to see what the Father wanted him to be about in relationship to this woman. We don't know, but all we know is Jesus is silent. Then to make things worse, the disciples, what do they do? Send her away, for she is crying after us. So I'm up waiting for prayer, and the prayer couple doesn't say anything, and then some other people say, to the prayer couple, "Get rid of him. He's a bother. He's in the way. He's in the way of being able to see the service on the screen, whatever. But he's in the way. He's bothering us." So she endures a second rejection. Then Jesus, number three, he says to her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, woman, you're an outsider right now. You're outside my ministry right now. For Jesus in his coming as the Messiah, his first mission, his thing was to go to the Jews, to the chosen people of God. That was his focus. And now, Scripture prophesies in the Old Testament, we know that the gospel wasn't going to be just left with the Jews. It was going to go to the ends of the earth. It was going to go to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. But there was a series of events, and the first thing that Jesus was about was preaching to the lost house of Israel. So, this is saying, woman, I might love you, I do love you, but you're on the outside. You're on the outside. What I'm about isn't for you yet. Now, when we read the rest of the gospel, we see it's really beginning to spread. But at this time, it was just about the lost house of Israel. So Jesus wasn't being cruel. He was just saying what the timing was. So the woman, after being told these things, she kneels before the Lord, and she says to the Lord, "Help." Lord, help me. She's kneeling before the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. He replies, number four, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In that time, there were two kinds of dogs. There's the wild dog that ran in a pack and that would go after the garbage and would attack other animals and was just mean and mangy, and you wouldn't want that dog near your house. But there's another kind of dog. And this dog was the pet dog. This was a dog like my dog Gunner, or as Blanche calls him, Gunder. We call him all sorts of things, actually. And Gunder is this 85-pound marshmallow. But when it's dinner time and Claudia's not home, Gunder sits under the table. And Gunder's part of the family, but he's not sitting at the table. He's part of the family under the table. And Gunder, now I'm saying it, Gunder just is there and sometimes falls asleep, but he knows when things are slowing down, and he's sniffing. He's looking on the floor for crumbs. I call him pre-wash. He sometimes cleans the floor, cleans the dishes before you get them in the dishwasher. So at any rate, there's Gunner. This is more the picture of what Jesus was speaking to this woman. She wasn't speaking to her saying, you're counted as one of these vicious, ugly dogs that go around our mangy and are eating the garbage out there that you wouldn't want in your house. But he was referring to her at least as someone who was sort of in the house. So the woman says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I am not one of the chosen," she was saying. I accept, Lord, that I am not one of the chosen. I'm not asking for what your children, your chosen people, are receiving as far as blessings. But Lord, I'm one that is happy and satisfied with just receiving crumbs from the table. I would love to receive the bones. I would love to receive the scraps that might fall off the table that the children of Israel don't want. And Jesus said, "Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And it says, and her daughter was healed instantly. Just like that, she was healed. Four times, this woman could have felt rejected, right? Claudia and I were talking about how long would we have lasted. And when I graduated from seminary, by the way, my last name is Souders. It's not important, but this is just a bunny trail. Everyone pronounces my name wrong all my life. And so, of course, on the day that I'm graduating from seminary, I figure with my parents and family there and the celebration that the dean would get it right. So he calls me up to get my diploma. Scott Souders. Even the dean got it wrong. So what we have here, this woman is dealing with rejection, and four times it comes, and she could have walked away dejected. She could have walked away in shame. She could have said, "I'm a victim for the rest of my life," but she didn't. She didn't take offense. She did not take offense. She didn't get angry. She didn't become a victim. She never said, "Lord, you owe it to me. I know you're the Messiah. You owe me this one." But it was the opposite. This woman persevered because she made her focus Jesus. She didn't respond to the disciples. She didn't respond to feeling dissed in any way. Her focus was totally, she was absorbed in Jesus, not these other things that were going on. She wanted Jesus. She wanted to get to Jesus, and so she persevered. Her eyes were fastened on him. She came to Jesus with a spirit of worship. "Oh Lord, Son of David." She knelt before him. She had this heart of coming to the Lord with a spirit of worship, of honoring him, of worshiping him. There were roadblocks and different things that came up, but she knelt before him and continued in the spirit of worship. She came not only with a spirit of worship and love for her daughter and wanting to get to Jesus, but she came with the spirit of humility. Humility. This thing of humility. She surrendered her pride. Now, if I, in high school, not now, I'm married, but in high school, if I was going to ask a girl out, and I called her up, and she said, you know, Scott, Saturday night I'm washing my hair for church on Sunday. And that would sting. But then to think about calling her the next day and say, well, how about Friday night? You're not washing your hair Friday night. And she rejected me, and again rejected me. That's what was happening to this woman. But she gave up her pride. She surrendered her pride and humbled herself. When my son David, darn it, I wasn't going to say his name. Too late. When one of my sons, was diagnosed with this kidney disease, for Claudia and I, there are a lot of tears. Had a lot of questions saying, you know, Lord, if this is warfare, we understand warfare directed towards us, but not our children. We had a lot of those conversations. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out if there's a certain way we should pray that maybe would tip the scales and God would say, okay, you prayed the right prayer. Now I'll do the stuff. Or maybe we're supposed to fast. Maybe we're supposed to do this or that, but looking for different things. But we kept coming against roadblocks. We kept coming against them. There's the roadblock of continued bad reports from the doctor, from the lab tests. There were continued things we saw that in his demeanor and in his physical being that he was still sick and maybe even sicker. We saw all those things. But the thing that brought us through was being focused on Jesus. Not denying the doctors, not denying the lab reports, they were all true. But the Lord wanted us also to fix our attention on Jesus. Even though we didn't know the answers, just fix your eyes and walk with Jesus. There were saints at my former church, Holy Spirit, that prayed for us, encouraged us, and loved us. There were friends that are here today who would prophesy and give words from the Lord for us, and we knew they were praying for us. But the whole thing was to fix our eyes on Jesus. The second part was that we were humble, because we knew how much we needed others, that we weren't strong in ourselves to withstand this onslaught of illness that had come upon one of our children. We needed others. We were constantly being humbled when we didn't have the answers. Hold on to God. He was really all we had. So one day, I'm in my office in the basement, former house, and my eyes are closed and I'm praying. And this is what happened. I had a vision. It was a vision from God. And it was a tomb with the door with the stone rolled away. And looking into the tomb, it was dark. And all of a sudden, Jesus came to the front of the entrance, and I knew it was Easter, the resurrection. And I was standing a number of feet away from Jesus, and I was holding my son's hand. And Jesus motioned for us to come to him. And he said, take his hand and put it in mine. And as I was reflecting again on this yesterday, I was realizing that in my heart, I thought that was good news, but that was hard to let go. because it was obvious Jesus wanted him and his hand, and that I was to let go and back off. So the vision ended. So in my heart, I knew I was in trouble again, that my faith was wavering and I was hurting. And so there's a former priest by the name of Frank Sizer, and he also had a tremendous healing ministry. I think it was in Philadelphia. And Frank was here at St. Luke's at the time. And so I called Frank, and I said, I need help. And he said, what's going on? And I told him about my son and about how Claudia and I were doing. And I said, I really would like to meet with you. And he said, you know, Scott, I would like to meet with you, but I'd rather meet with your son. And I thought, good, I think. But I need help too. But no, I was worried about my son. So he said, come by the office tonight. And so David, my son, and I went to the office at the appointed time and talked with Frank some. And then Frank said, well, I want to pray for him. So Frank started anointing him and doing different stuff. And David just started sobbing. The presence of God in that room was great. We knew the presence of God was there. And so as David was sobbing, I went to try to hold him and comfort him. And Frank said, Dad, leave him alone. God's at work. So once again, I had to pull back. I'd put his hand in the hand of Jesus, and I was trying to get back involved. And the Lord was saying, no, I'm doing my thing. And that was the night that there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough that night. I knew it. Frank knew it. David, as best as he could know it, knew it. And I was so excited. It was the first time I'd been excited for almost a year. And so what do you do when you're excited? You take your son out for Osmond Pies. And so we went out for Osmond Pies, and Frank had said, you know, David, let me know when you know you've been healed. And so we're perplexed by that, and what did that mean? But we knew there had been a breakthrough. And he wasn't instantly totally healed at that moment. But we noticed changes started to occur. And so we would continue to soak him in prayer. And we saw changes begin to occur. And David now is 41, did I get it right? He's 41, and he's not on any medication. He's not seeing doctors about it. He's well. Yeah. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And you know, there are people I've prayed for that God hasn't chosen to heal the way I wanted him to. But I learned something about persevering, about when there are roadblocks to healing or to something in my life where the Lord's calling me into new freedom, that I need to be like Peter walking on the water. There's waves and all this stuff going on, but I need to continuously, and I need people to join with me in keeping my eyes on the Lord. And not worrying about praying the right thing or doing the right thing or the right gymnastics, but to be focused on the Lord and his presence. As the woman was, she kept her focus on the Lord, as Peter did before he saw the waves and sank, but to keep your eyes on the Lord, to approach the Lord with a spirit of worship, with a spirit of worship and praise for who he is, not just what he does, but for who he is, to kneel before the Lord, to come humbly before our God, and know that he loves us, and he wants to move in some direction in our lives and in our need. Jesus' calling is a great, I shouldn't say that because you all might not think it's great. I think it's great. It's a devotional called Jesus Calling. And today, the word was, I am a God who heals. I heal broken bodies, broken minds, broken hearts, broken lives, and broken relationships. My very presence has immense healing powers. You cannot live close to me without experiencing some degree of healing. However, it is also true that you have not because you have not asked. You receive the healing that flows naturally from my presence, whether you seek it or not, but there is more, much more available to those who ask. The first step in receiving healing is to live ever so close to me. The benefits of this practice are too numerous to list. As you grow more and more intimate with me, I reveal my will to you more directly. When the time is right, I prompt you to ask for healing of some brokenness in you or in another person. The healing may be instantaneous, or it may be a process. That is up to me. Your part is to trust me fully and to thank me for the restoration that has begun. The Lord is saying that there's naturally, we have this, times that we're healed coming up for communion because the presence of the Lord, or being healed or encouraged in some way during worship. But the Lord is also saying, maybe there are prayers he would have us pray as we focus on him for breakthroughs in our lives, in other people's lives, that we've stopped praying because we hit so many obstacles. And God is saying he wants to move. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much. You are so good, Lord. You pour out so many blessings upon us. And Lord, we worship you and we bless you. Lord, we tell you also today that we didn't marry you for your money. We married you because we love you. And Lord, we do love you with our heart and our soul, our mind, our strength. Lord, I pray that you would renew a passion in our hearts today for you, Jesus. A new passion in our hearts to meet with you and to be with you. Lord, to be excited by every morning when we wake up about what's going to happen in our relationship with you as we wake up. And Lord, fix our eyes on you and worship you in the morning and different times during the day, that there'd be a renewed passion in us as we come to Sunday mornings and excitement that we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's more than a service. It's more than a song, but it's coming into your presence, God, and encountering you as we seek you. That Lord, as your word talks about in Jeremiah, when you said, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. That, Lord, as we seek you, it's in your word, you promise to meet us, that we're going to find you, and we're going to experience your presence when we seek you with all of our hearts. And God, as we come into your presence, we worship you, and we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, because it's as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you lift us up, that you heal, that you restore. Oh, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for what you have done in the past years, for what you are doing, but Lord, for ways that you're going to release your glory in this congregation in fresh ways. We bless you for it, God, and we pray it through the name of Jesus. Amen.